89.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together.
Line is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, BTC, and the Cleveland Clinic.
So glad you could join me here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-625-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. I want to give a little word to some of you before I carry on with what I want to talk about today. In this life, if you are not mentally well, or if you find yourself in a mentally or psychologically unwell place, where your emotions are running amok of you, where you are ruminating about a great deal of negativity, where you are essentially struggling to make sense of your world for whatever reason, whatever may have or may be happening. If you get to the place where it feels dysfunctional to you, I encourage you, get some help. Get some help. I mean, really professional help. Don't. It's okay to fool around with your cousin, niece, uncle, aunt, and them, but try to get some people who may really be able to help. Because at the end of the day, if you cannot soundly negotiate the world in which you live, everything else is going to fall apart. And this life won't even be worth it. It will not feel like it's worth the living. So it's important to have perspective and context. It's important to be a radical acceptor of reality and try to move through life on the basis of that awareness of what you have to do to keep yourself well. Okay? All right. With that said, The last time I looked at the food task force issue, I said that there was a set of questions that needed to be answered by the government, needed to be answered by the Food Task Force Committee, and needed to be answered by the NGOs that ran directly the distribution to the persons who were in need of that assistance. I indicated, as I recall, that the government needed to supply information about how much monies was dispensed from the treasury and in what and on what dates and to whom. Information that I knew could be acquired from the treasurer of the Bahamas in minutes. Minutes, because these are digitized pieces of information, right? I indicated that the Food Task Force Committee needed to then produce information about what funds in total it received from the government of the Bahamas, in which tranches and on which dates, so that that could be matched against what the government said was done, so that we could know whether there was any synchronicity between the two. And then I indicated that the NGOs needed to produce reports about what funding they received from the task force, Food Task Force Committee, on what dates. They can be matched against the report provided by the Food Task Force Committee that included what funding they forwarded to the NGOs on what dates. And then I indicated that all of this should be accompanied by supporting documentation. Well, I could be wrong, but I'm not aware of any such information being supplied by the government. So that remains outstanding, saving and except that we are told by the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, the Financial Secretary, and the Minister of Social Services and Urban Development that apparently they are not able to provide any records of what happened with the program per se. As far as I'm aware, no NGO has provided any information such as I indicated should be provided. But according to the Guardian and the Tribune, Mrs. Susan Larson provided evidence, the documentation of, substantial documentation of what was done in relation to the distribution of the funds and the assistance to the individuals who came to access food assistance through the program in the hundreds of thousands of vouchers and the like and so forth and so forth. And so there seems to be independent verification, at least by the major dailies, of that available record. Now there's an audit going on, and we'll see if the audit finds something amiss about that record, but that's neither here nor there. That's for after the fact. Right now, what we have in hand are records produced by the Food Committee of the substantial that took place through the food program. And that accounting causes me to raise many questions and to make a number of points. Any questions? First of all, I really would find it, and I've spoken to colleagues with much more experience in matters of government than I have had, just to kind of check my own thoughts on the matter against their extensive experience in these matters. And we agreed that there is a bit of incredulity attached to the absence of records to account for the disbursement and use of public funds to the extent of its use under the food program and during the course of the pandemic. Incredulity largely because there are too many checks and balances that defy could actually happen. And I have a point to make about this later that is very serious in my mind. So first of all, if a minister tells me he can't account for funds in a ministry, okay, I could take that. Because honestly, that doesn't mean a lot to me. It doesn't. Having served in ministries as a minister, having served in the Ministry of Finance as a minister, that don't mean a lot to me. Why? Because a minister is not the chief financial officer of a government ministry. The chief financial officer of a government ministry under the Financial Administration and Audit Act is the permanent secretary, which therefore means that the permanent secretary is the one who has to account for the receipt and disbursement of funds in a ministry. That's why you get named the chief financial officer in law. The minister tells me, I asked the permanent secretary to assist me in producing these records and so forth, but was unable to get so. I said, oh, wow, we have a problem. Real problem. If a permanent secretary came and said to me, I am unable to ascertain records in relation to the disbursement of public funds, I'd be alarmed. That's incredible. Really? This is the chief financial officer whose responsibility it is to account for those public funds in their usage in a ministry. And I would be doubly alarmed if the chief financial officer is saying that, backed up by the financial secretary, who in the Ministry of Finance is responsible for the whole alabaloo. I would be especially alarmed if the treasurer said, child, I know what happened. I don't have no records to support that. You disbursed $53 million of public funds without records. When I spoke to my colleagues about this, they were just incredulous. Secondly, in order to draw down on funds from the World Bank, you have to produce documentation in support of that drawdown, I would think. Any of you ever been to the bank to get a loan and the bank told you, yeah, here your money, and not ask you for documentation about what you can spend the money on? Anybody ever? No car invoice, no construction supply or labor invoice. Really? No? No? No furniture invoice? No? My understanding is that this was a part of what was required by the task force committee to supply documentation in support of saying that maybe that's the World Bank and them. They're not interested in getting caught up in scandals related to the corrupt use of pond funds, which they have been entrusted with and then onward led to. They're not interested in that. That's the second thing. And then the third thing is this. Listen, man, love them, hate them if you wish. Susan Larson and those unknown quantities on planet Earth in the non-government. They are receiving funds from all over the world in support of the efforts that they are making. You think them people are gonna put their name at risk in the distribution of public funds without the ability to supply records to support the disbursement of such significant amount of funds? Really? Now, might there be errors or whatever? Please. But have no records that someone veteran and seasoned in the business of NGOs would do such a thing? Knowing the sensitivity of the act under which they are registered, knowing the sensitivity of the international relationships that they have to foster, and knowing that when you receive international donor grants, there are so many details that have to be complied with in order to get those grants and account for them, that they would simply take $54 million and have no records to support. Ties to think, don't do nothing of the sort, really? Let me tell y'all, when I come back from the break, what the great challenge of what we are doing to ourselves is. Listening to Z Live, I'm Shabarba Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any.
We're good for you.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
I marched the car. The lady run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabarba Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So, yeah, I could never buy that there are no records to support the extension that was carried out to assist Bahamians during the course of the pandemic, just as I will never buy that there might not be errors, mistakes, or even abuses in that system, given the size of it. You don't even have to have records to know that multiple thousands and thousands of Bahamians were assisted in the program because we all were here in the country during the course of the pandemic. We know what was happening, right? But there has to be records. There had to have been records. And all through the system, something had to be driving the disbursement of funds from the public treasury of the Bahamas to the people who needed those funds. Something had to be driving that. So that there was no record could never have really for me, because that just doesn't fly. Right now, here's the thing. If we say there's no records, here's what we're doing to ourselves.
Politics and all that stuff, I'm not a participant.
That's a recording man off of me. Sorry about that. But so here's what we're doing to ourselves. You see, you can put it on Minnis. You can do that politically. You could put it on Minnis, just as Minnis tried to put it on us. Y'all remember early in his administration when Dr. Minnis, as prime minister, went across the waters to the Caribbean and told the people in the world that the Bahamas had a $500 million corruption problem? Y'all remember that? Yeah. I was stunned that he would say such a thing in that space, especially given there was no, as far as I'm aware, evidence to support such an assertion. But we put that on ourselves. So here we are, if you can, but here's what you are telling all the people who may have an interest now or in the future in interacting or transacting with your public financial system. You're saying you could have $54-53 million dispensed and be unable to account for it by your Ministry of Finance and suggest that they should still have confidence in your system. That is very serious, right? To be able, if you're the opposition and you say something like that, okay, I say, well, they're not inside, so they won't know. But if you're inside and you say something like that, I have to believe that that's credible. So you're a bondholder, Bahamas government bondholder. You are a potential bond. You are the IMF, the World Bank, the IDB. You are all these people who are called upon to transact with you in the multiple millions of dollars. And you are hearing that y'all have spent millions and millions of dollars, and there was no record of that spending, no accountability for that spending that can't inspire confidence in you. But you are an already skeptical public of the Bahamas about government finances. You are already skeptical. You already don't trust the government of the Bahamas with your public funds, with your taxpayers' tax monies. And you are hearing such and such a case. Boy, you might try to tie it to Susan Larson if that's what gets you off, right? You can try to do that as a member of the public, but guess what you're saying? It's not just Susan Larson. Susan Larson can't give herself money from the public funds. She cannot give her organization money from the public treasury. That can't happen. There's no way. Otherwise, she's stolen it. She could only receive money from the treasury. And then you have to ask, okay, under what grounds, on what basis did the treasury give her organization the money? That's the real question. The Dr. Minister's Prime Minister, Minister of Finance couldn't just authorize I write you a check. That's it. Can't happen that way. The Treasury of the Bahamas has protocols that have to be in place, in order to justify its dispensing of public funds. But what we are doing is saying to the entire world, whoever is doing the same, that this money was moved about, dispensed about, and we are trying to get our handle on, we're trying to get records. So I'm doing an audit. Appropriate, you could do it. Even if you had records, doing an audit is appropriate. So nobody should leave thinking, I'm suggesting you should do an audit. At that much money dispensed in the way that it was dispensed using a third party instrumentation, if you want to do an audit and conduct an audit that way, that makes sense. I can't argue with that. You pay the accounting firm for additional money and you say you ain't got, but hey, if that gives confidence to the public about what happens, that's great. If it helps us understand if something deficient happened, that's great too. So an audit, I have no difficulty with. Things have to have purposes though. So when we start casting aspersions on this program, what is the purpose? And what is it that we hope to achieve at the end of the day? Not we are going to determine how exactly the funds have been used and therefore have ordered an investigative or audit process in that respect, because we know what the purpose would be then. But when we start out with the proposition out there in the public sphere that there is no or cannot be found any record to account for this, like, what is the purpose of that? What do we seek to achieve by that? Especially in the face of obvious opportunities for a record trail to be had in a scenario like this. Obvious. There's no question in my mind that there has to be obvious record trails in respect of a matter like this. What is the purpose, policy purpose, intended by pronouncements that call into question the availability of records in a circumstance like this? Because to my mind, whatever the purpose is, there is an indirect consequence of doing it that way, which is to cause there to be a lack of confidence in your institutions and systems. And that transcends any political administration. Because once, when governments, when political administrations come and go, what is left are our institutions and our systems that have to be relied upon to give confidence to the transactors in that system to be willing to engage that system, whether in charitable ways or commercial ways or private ways. The whole adage is, careful you don't cut off your nose to spite your own face. So I just think that we should rethink this whole, we could step back. Listen, I've been in the political arena. And I know the zeal of partisan political back and forth. Okay, I know that. I know how that works. I know how to take jabs at political opponents. I know how that's done, and I know that it is done. But there are some jabs you hold back because the severity of the blow comes to the entire system, and it blows back on you when you do it, right? So you kind of say, you know what? That's why we have a rule, as an example. When we go abroad, the politics stops at the border. So no matter who is in office, if you're opposition, you go abroad, you're talking well about your prime minister, you are commending your prime minister, you're speaking well of your country, and so forth and so forth. Even if you acknowledge some of its challenges, you are not going across the border to knock down your stuff, because you have to sell the strengths and the bona fides and the benefits of a country of ours. So we don't take jabs across the border. We don't take jabs at ourselves across the border. We don't do that. We talk about our business here at home. If we want to tell it amongst ourselves, we do that. But we don't go across the border and do that. Well, if some these days, like you ain't even got to cross the border sometimes with something, you could be right here and all of a sudden the border is crossing you through the internet. And you want to be cautious about that. I don't think that there's any problem with the government, for instance, indicating if in fact it does not now have adequacy of records to say so, but have you say that it's seeking to get more records to substantiate the program and its execution, that's fair play. But to be preemptive of an audit trail and an audit process, I think could be harmful to ourselves in ways that we don't intend. Now, you think, I think the prime minister, the minister of finance, the financial secretary, the minister of social services, and all that, any of them want to be harmful to the Bahamas, want to be unhelpful? No, man, please, come on. You ain't gonna never get me to say that. No such thing. Any such thing. But there are unintended consequences from some things we do. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Lang, your host. We're gonna take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here. Every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic. Your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
One thing there is no debate about is that PTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your PTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to PTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with PTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a PTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RM returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, just let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this wonderful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us, you can call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or 439-3043. Somebody wanted to remind me that Prime Minister, former Minister, when he went abroad on the occasion of when that $500 million corruption suggestion came out, that wasn't a part of his official speech. A part of his official speech at the conference, but in fact, something he said in an interview to ZNS or so reporters on the sidelines of the meeting, and he didn't make that a part of his official speech, That is, as I understand it, what in fact happened. But this is tying into the point that I make. See, when you are speaking about yourself now in the environment that we are in, it now doesn't really matter sometimes the platform that you are using, because you now get to carry your stuff all over the world, right? And the basic point is, give yourself a charge like that, and like people were asking, what's the evidence? What was the evidence of such a thing that the PM saying that some 200 and then it was up to $500 million per annum was lost to by way of corruption? Right? And so you just know that kind of thing, if people hear it, becomes a thing. And in the same way, my point here is that given the incredulous nature of us having such large sums of money dispensed from the Treasury, the likelihood that you would not have records to support that, even if you want to confirm the integrity of the records, is just highly suspicious. And to put it out there prior to an audit can just lead to ways. And given the nature of our circumstances, our fiscal circumstances, our economic circumstances, the last thing we want to do is have people look at us sideways. Now, mind you, we want people to know that if there is corruption in the country, if there is deficiencies in our operations, inefficiencies in our public sphere, we want people to know that we're addressing that. But that's a different kind of structured communication to the world, different kind, that comes across in a way that suggests to them that, listen, here is where we are, here is what we are seeking to determine, and here's what we are likely to do in response to what happens. Let me read you something that I'm reading from a daily. Dr. Minnis was criticized, I'm directly quoting from the daily, by Progressive Liberal Party Philip Brave Davis for, Dr. Minnis was criticized by Progressive Liberal Party leader Philip Brave Davis for bad-mouthing the Bahamas abroad with his talk of corruption. But he said yesterday that the theme of the summit in Peru was corruption, suggesting that the topic was unavoidable. He made a $200 million remark to a reporter on the sidelines of the summit in Peru. So that's what Prime Minister Davis, then leader of the opposition, was concerned that such a thing was said. So, but let me ask you a question though. Like, if you badmouth yourself abroad in a media environment such as we now have, and you do the same badmouthing here, like, is there really a material difference in terms of the carriage? In some ways, because you could argue I didn't stand up in front of these foreigners and tell them how bad I am, as opposed to them reading that I said it at home. You could argue that. But did the information get to the same ears? You could also argue might not, because many of them might not pick up your internet, blah, 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 blah. You could argue that materially speaking. All I know is, in both instances, none of this was necessary. Why? Because in the instance of Minnis, for example, there was no evidence to support the claim. As far as I know, none has been presented. So you didn't have to say that way there. You could say, like all countries we are dealing, we have instances of corruption with which we are dealing, and we are very serious about it, and we are taking this approach and that approach to it that gets a headline that you now have to contend with where there is no supporting evidence. And similarly, you can say, listen, we are trying to get our hands wrapped around the Food Task Force Committee program so that we understand exactly what has happened. And so we're collecting information inclusive of an audit of the program so that we can be certain when we come to the public that we are aware and conscious of what happened. And if in fact there were any issues, we expect that to be addressed in due course. You've said what you needed to say and did no harm to yourself in the process, pending information to support any charge you can credibly make. So there are ways to do these things that are mindful of the unintended consequences that could arise from saying certain kinds of things. Whether you are Prime Minister, former Minnis, and Minister of Finance, former Minnis, or you're Prime Minister now Davis, or Minister of Finance now Davis, you are in a position to know. That's one. Listen to me, folks. Let me tell you one of the great powers, absolutely great powers, of being a Prime Minister and Minister of Finance is there is hardly any information that could be withheld from you. Hardly any information. You, first of all, you request it and they will break their necks to get it to you firstly. That's the first thing. I'm talking about the public sector now. This is the public sector. If they got to chase down every NGO in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, they'd chase them down to get that information for you. Secondly, if you cannot get it from them, you got the purse strings. The Prime Minister is called the First Lord of the Treasury, or the Minister of Finance is the Lord of the Treasury, right? So you can purchase with public funds, any expertise, including forensic auditing expertise, get information where you require it. That's one of the great powers of being a prime minister, minister of finance. And that combination, you are all powerful when it comes to getting that kind of information in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You never have to be in a position of don't know. You could call every head of an NGO and say, listen, I would wish to see you on X day at X time. What you think they can say to the prime minister? You just get public funds. You can say to the prime minister, the minister of finance, I ain't coming? Really? And you could line them up hour by hour by hour and say, here is what I require forthwith. What do you think they can say? And if they say to you, no, I'm not supplying that, you got public funds, and you, let's see how that go for you. Because you have powers in the law to do things, right? You're the Minister of Finance. You have the instrumentation of customs. You have the instrumentation of internal revenue. You have the instrumentation of business license. You have the instrumentation of all kinds of government agencies that these entities require to be subject to in the course of their dealings. And they will say to the Minister of Finance and Prime Minister, no, I ain't gonna cooperate with you. Okay. All right, fine. Thank you very much. No problems. That's all the Prime Minister needs to say, you know, and the Minister of Finance. And then you watch the state move. So a Prime Minister and a Minister of Finance never has to be unaware of. In fact, I would suggest to you that I can't conceive of a circumstances where eventually and ultimately a prime minister cannot know in respect of a matter having to do with public affairs, public finances. And if the prime minister ever arrives at that point, I assure you, heads will and should have to roll in the process. It's no question about it. There's too many hired professionals who are required to administer the fiscal affairs, the administrative affairs of the state, who have to, by law, provide a certain amount of accountability in their responsibility. So you can know. And therefore, when you come to the public and you say, this is great power. Because remember now, public servants transact on trust, public trust. The whole integrity of their leadership rests on the public's ability and willingness to trust their words and to trust their deeds. And where that breaks down, we have a collapse in the system. And in those circumstances, that's where you call for a vote of no confidence in a government, because if the public can't trust their government, then that government needs to give the power back to the people so that the people can give it back to somebody, give it to somebody they can trust. And so when a prime minister, a minister gets up and speaks, given the power they have to acquire, to get, to access, they come with a huge amount of credibility. And to be able to confidently say, such and such is the case. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Valang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this news.
Storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to
Z Live Off the Record with Shivalo Lang is sponsored by Royal Fidelity Banking Trust, Royal Star Assurance, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, BTC, and the Cleveland Clinic.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us on the show, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 4393043. We've been talking about the Food Task Force and the accounts or the report or the records, which Mrs. Larson seemed to have shown the two major dailies in support of what happened in the program. This person says to me on a text, very keenly says to me, to my mind, the question was never concerned about money from the Treasury to the task force or from the task force to NGOs. That's basic. Basics. Since nobody was walking around handing out bags of dollar bills, the bank wires could support those transactions. The question was always, how did the NGOs distribute the money they got? And bad data management doesn't necessarily mean theft. It just means we don't have reliable or complete records. Okay, good. Now, let me show you how you just tied up yourself, because this is brilliantly stated, and I'm definitely not dealing with just anybody who wrote this. But let me show you how you just tied up yourself. Okay? Firstly, the transactions from the Treasury matters a heck of a lot. Why? Because how do you know that something went amiss by what was spent if you don't know what was given? So the two have to go together. So don't tell me it's basics. If you don't get the basics right, you get everything else wrong. That's one of the reasons why they tell you when something goes wrong with your computer, what the first thing you do is check the power. Make sure you turn the thing on. That's very basic. Secondly, you know, dear, since nobody was walking around handing out bags of dollar bills. How you know that? How do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know that they didn't get the public treasury's money and cash it unto themselves and was handing out bags of money? How do you know that? Why you don't know audit? You don't know that. So the question was always, how did the NGOs distribute the money they got? Well, if how the NGOs distributed the money is what ultimately matters and not what did the task force do to the NGOs, why is Susan Larson's name the only name called, and why is she the only person we are now talking about? Since the money she distributed to the NGOs was not what mattered. The NGOs to whom monies were distributed. Do you know any of their names were called? Do you know any other surname other than Larson in the course of this entire discussion? Tell me, give me a name if you have one that was called by any minister, any public official, anyone other than Susan Larson and her NGO. Since her distribution to the NGOs didn't matter because we already have the record for that. But why is she then being held to account? But you are right that we want to know what the NGOs did. Well, to my mind, Susan Larson though said, well, we only distributed monies to them once we got invoices or vouchers or invoices from them for what needed to be acquired for the people that they were serving. So how is it now that Susan Larson though still don't matter? But you are right. We need that information from the NGOs. But don't try to structure this discussion in a way that suggests that it's too basic. It's all required. It's all part of the trail. If you're doing an audit trail, you ask any auditor. I have some of them listening right now, certified public accountants and what have you. They know when you're doing an audit trail, you don't start with the basics. Call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Do I go?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Fine. How you doing, man?
Good, man. And yourself?
Pretty good.
Good, good.
I'm paying attention very much to every word that you are saying.
Okay.
And I don't want you to take it an offense.
Okay.
But
then
you're coming across to me, in my mind, to be trying to defend what had happened with respect to the food program.
Okay, I can't dictate what you perceive.
That is true. So I would like to say what I got in my mind to say, if you would like to allow me to do so.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The Prime Minister, our Prime Minister, Philip Graves Davis, came to power, and he is about the business of finding out what had happened to the program.
Okay. I support that. You heard me say I support the audit, right?
Yeah, but we don't want much shenanigans about this whole matter.
Hold on. 1 minute. Just a minute. You can't come on the air to say all you have to say, and then you don't want other people to comment on what is being done. You really think that's fair? You want to be able to defend what you say the Prime Minister is doing, and that's your right. But you don't think other people should comment on it because you don't want much hullabaloo. Well, who raised the hullabaloo to begin with? It's the government of the Bahamas saying we are concerned about what has happened. And I don't have any difficulty with the fact that an audit is being carried out of the program. I support that 100%. That will provide public confidence if the audit is carried out in the way that audits are carried out. It gives public confidence. Whatever is discovered, whether something untoward happened or something correct happened, that's important. Right? So that's not the issue. What I was saying was, in the course of how this matter was first published, it seemed to me that we are doing ourselves a disservice in that way by getting ahead of the audit in the way we have said what we have been saying. That's all I'm saying. So how I come across, please. I mean, I've been on the show for years speaking. When I spoke about the Prime Minister and his affability and all that kind of stuff, FNM said I came across as if I was supporting Mr. Davis. So now you're concerned about how I come across Mr. Davis, and I'm not supporting Mr. Davis. I am speaking about what I understand to have evolved in the course of this discussion. That's what is happening. All right. Your sensibilities about it, and you came across to me as a very avid supporter of the Prime Minister. And that's fine. Not concerned about that at all. That's your right. But you ain't gonna get me to try and have you make me feel like I'm doing something untoward to share information, perspectives which I have about the matter. This text says, I am too annoyed over this ludicrous situation. The press secretary really embarrassed the government. If you ask me, they think that the World Bank is a piggy bank. $53 million, no records, really? Say, Lord help us. All right. Again, is it possible to run a government program that has issues, maybe even substantial issues? Of course. And should the government, should Prime Minister Brave Davis, as Minister of Finance, be concerned to know exactly what happened with $53 million of public funds? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm saying, however it gets structured, like if you've been distributing monies and assistance through NGOs, if those NGOs are out there and cannot provide records, I mean, that would be stunning. First of all, it was our Prime Minister who said that two NGOs that had received about $15 million were being uncooperative in accounting for them. Okay, now, it was $53 million that was dispensed. So $53 million less $15 million, right? leaves us with $38 million, which the prime minister did not say was dispensed, and those to whom it was dispensed were being uncooperative. So did that mean then that those entities that received that $38 million were cooperating to supply records to the government of the Bahamas versus the two with the $15 million that were not? Who were these two entities that were not? Susan Larson's name was called, her organization's name was called, but those that were not being cooperative. What were the other NGOs that received the collective $38 million and who were they who were apparently being cooperative? So it just seems to me that in the totality of the situation, we could do what the prime minister and those want to do, while at the same time understanding that there is a long game and a wider game of trying to preserve the integrity of your institution's credibility and these NGOs upon whom you shall call when you get into your next mess. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I am right here, and yourself?
I'm doing great, sir. Mr. Lang, I remember the Prime Minister when he first talked about the money for this whole incident that you are talking about today, right?
Right.
He never called Ms. Larson in. Ms. Larson came out after he spoke about the NGOs, and that's when she came out and put the information out there. For me, because I didn't know who you were talking about. So, and then she returned, and then they returned the $2 million for however it go, right? But then and the NGOs wanted to be upfront. Why didn't they put all of this information out there? Because when the Prime Minister said about the $2 million, he also said that the NGOs saying them was in cooperating with the auditor. So why didn't she bring this information at the same time? I understand. This whole thing where it's going, you know. I understand this whole thing where it's going. The Prime Minister said some things, but still, sir, there are some these NGOs we give our money to. They are supposed to be accountable for the money. And if the Prime Minister asks, the $2 million would be returned, so why this report did not over at the same time?
No, but
you know, Mr. Lang, before you say something, I just want to say something. I'm going to listen to you, sir, because I'll hear what you say. You know something? What I noticed though with this same radio station here and this show from this morning, we were talking about this whole thing about the money. I have two phones. I wrote a text. I wrote a text against the government. Those texts was never read. I did it on Dwight's show. I did it on Warren's show, and I did it on your show. All the negative texts I write against the government is what y'all read. This is clearly to us, sir, that there's an agenda to protect this lady.
I read every text that's sent to me, including the text that's criticizing me. So I'm sorry, my brother. I can't help you. I don't know what you get going on other shows, but negative, positive texts about the government and anybody else. I don't see people partialing in respect to that unless you're saying things that might cause the station to come into disrepute or be subject to some legal liability. But if that's the narrative you're trying to dispute, my friend, I can't help you. I can't help you with that. I'm sorry. I can't. First of all, though, let me say, I didn't say that the Prime Minister called Susan Larson's name. I asked, why is Susan Larson's name the only name that we know? And the reason why we know that name is because you know who managed the food task force. You know that. So if the Prime Minister therefore makes an assertion that neatly ties them to that, you don't have to guess anymore. So let's not play cute about this. Let's not be cute about it. We know what time it is. I'm saying, though, you ain't got no much information, but nobody else. Because just now, when you spoke, you ain't called Susan Larson. You ain't called nobody else's name. What about the $15 million, the two entities with $15 million? You couldn't connect that up? You couldn't link that up? Susan Larson came forward that her organization's name was being called into question because it was on the public record who managed the National Food Committee Task Force. She knew, so why wouldn't she come forward? And now you're saying, well, why she didn't bring all that information out the same time, et cetera? Well, I mean, if you are working with the government to try and get information, et cetera, and so forth, you work with the government. Now, when things get out of hand and you feel the need to do X, Y, and Z, then maybe you do X, Y, and Z, right? Maybe that's the way you think it wise to do. I think some of you are missing the point, and I know why it happens. It's so easy. It's so easy to simply get in your moods because you think you're a PLP or an FNM or whatever your position is, and you want to structure your language to accommodate that. That's fine, but don't try to put that on us though. Because I can tell you one thing, I ain't carrying no water for nobody around here. None. And as far as I know, the colleagues I have, at least some of them, as far as I know, they ain't carrying none either, because I just get them put it on both sides of the divide. This text says he did call her name. Okay, there you go. Said that he did call her name, but only after she came forward to defend the program. Okay. She specially said how much she was paid. He specially said how much she was paid and suggested she kept administrative money. She's speaking now because Obi said the World Bank received nothing. Okay, see? So when you want to structure the thing the way you want to structure the thing, you do what you got to do. We got to break. We got to take, ladies and gentlemen, to honor our sponsors. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabab Rulang, your host. Just remember, whenever you start criticizing the messenger, it's because your own message ain't that potent. And we'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
COVID is now available at South Beach Clinic on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. On Wednesday at Flamingo Gardens Clinic, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Elizabeth Estates Clinic, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And Fleming Street from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And at Marathon Mall, Monday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Visit vax.gov.bs to book an appointment or just walk into any of our locations.
Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pulled my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of.
You got to go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Rulang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I understand we have a call on the line if we still do. All right, go ahead, caller, if we still have you there. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, hi. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, Mr. Lang, how you doing? First time calling your show.
I appreciate
it. I listen to your show every day.
Okay.
People have the right to express their views. You know, you know. Every time they people turn and tell them what you think is it. That's the impression I get from you. People have their own thing. Sometimes you could say, well, okay, whatever. But you always got to shut them down. Like they ain't got no sense. Whatever. You know what I mean? You know,
what
people
do you, have a right to express their views. Shut them down. What do you mean? Shut them down.
What I mean, basically what they're saying is foolishness, and what you're saying is God's honest truth.
And that's what you took away from what we were doing just now?
I listen to your show every day, and I get that impression from you.
Well, you know, I'm sorry you get that impression. I can't help the impression you get. That's your mind. I can't control it.
People as well, not only me, a lot of people. All
okay,
right.
But it goes for them too. I can't control what impression you get. I get lots of texts, lots of calls from people who thank me for what we do on the show, for the information they get. What is it you wish me to do now? You want me to come off the show? Do you wish me to come off the show? And every day, notwithstanding, I do what I do. You listen to the show every day. Why would you do that? Okay, I want some of you Bahamians to appreciate, and I'm not talking about all of you, that's the ones who do it, right? I'm Shabago Sean Lang. I could only be me. When you come on the show and you talk as strongly and passionately as you, don't think that you are better than me when I therefore decide to either challenge or speak as firmly as passionately. And I'm not gonna fall to this. You are not gonna get me to melt when you decide you want to be critical of the way I do things. You have options in your listening. You don't have to listen to the show. I promise you that. Because if it offends you, then you don't have to listen. You have options. The fact that you continue to listen is very intriguing to me. Right? I don't shut anybody down. What happens with us is sometimes when we are speaking and spewing misinformation on the show, if I don't interrupt you at the moment of that misinformation, you run on and run on and run on, and then the point gets missed so that the misinformation is in the ear of the hearer. So I am very intentional when I interject about something on a factual basis or trying to challenge a claim that is being made, all right? I'm not just simply being rude about that at all. Because I know the way we communicate in this country too very often on these shows. We will run on and run on and run on, get 1,000 points in, and the talk show host will not be able to ever touch on any of those erroneous points that are made. And so I interrupt, and then I give you another opportunity to point. Now, if you don't like that, okay, I'm sorry you don't like it, but okay. This text says, laugh out loud, okay, I get your point. Everything, even the basics, have to be reported on. Larson was called because she had the responsibility to confirm that the money she distributed to the NGOs was properly used. What the task force should have been doing was performing monthly audits to independently verify that what the NGOs reported to them was correct. The accounting and accountability was deficient. But you don't know that yet. We don't know that yet. We don't know that because there hasn't been an audit perform. You don't know what the task force in fact did. That's the information that we are waiting to get. This text says, don't let these callers get you and make you row. Man, you all know he's rowing people from time to time, man. So I'm not sensitive about them kind of things, man. A lot of times when you see people sensitive about that, that's because they have a certain insecurity in and of themselves, right? About their ability to articulate or defend what they're saying, right? I mean, I'm not getting sensitive about that, man. Otherwise, you actually, if that's the case, you want me to come off the show because you got to be me and I got to be you. I mean, you, I got to be me and you got to be you, right? Say the PM said in the house, Mrs. Larson was paid where that information came from. If don't have any, yeah, that's true. That's a good point, actually. But because the government was paying it, they would know. This Texas raffle law, why the diehards catching feelings? That's true. Some people catching feelings today. I wonder if they would disclose their interest. Keep their feet to the fire. Thank you. And as always, great show. I'm not really trying to keep the folk feet to the fire, but, you know, we got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Frank.
How you doing, man?
I'm good. Listen, I'm listening to your show.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you a question, quick.
Sure.
A project like the Sports Center.
Uh-huh.
Would you have any idea what, I mean, the amount of millions would sign to start and finish it?
Which the Sports Center is huge and it has many facilities now. So which one do you mean? Because you know there's the swimming, there's the stadium, there's the baseball thing, etc. What do you mean?
The Sports Center. It got down the baseball stadium.
Yeah, I don't know, but you know, we told that it was about 20 something million spent and then an additional 30 plus million required?
Yeah, I don't really know, but I know it was started during the statistics of administration.
Right.
If it started then I don't know, was he get $5 and Tony what they did. Then Dr. was done, something by Dr. Mittis. Now this come and talk about the so many $1 million to finish it. I mean, how many times you going to put this money into this structure? And I mean, calling the base the money, not just money. You're talking about the food program. That's a joke compared to the sports center. No one is talking about that.
Well, some people have talked about it, but I agree with you. There's been no real accounting.
I mean, talking about this sports center. I mean, this food program. It sounds like that's a big thing. The sports center base it is more than this.
You know, what I'm saying
administration.
We know so far.
You understand? And you talk the first two set of millions, that's gone. Now you can put more into that. You
know, yeah, but
these things happen in the Bahamas. It's like when these people sign these contracts, it's like they just mess the money up and don't be on the contract. You understand what I'm saying? Until we put some structures in place where these things do happen. I mean, see, like you thought, like you mentioned about what to do or want, talk about calling the police. Until you are someone is big enough to call the police and put police on these people that they go to jail.
But sir,
you're talking about millions of dollars. Then these people.
Hold on, man. I've said this before, though. It is untrue that the money spent, for instance, at the baseball stadium cannot be accounted for. That is untrue. It can be, absolutely can be. The treasurer of the Bahamas, the Ministry of Public Works can, see, because the monies are paid to the contractor on the basis of inspections done at the stadiums in the stadium in accordance with the scope of works that had been approved when the contract was issued.
So this contract already got two sets of money.
It's not a question of two sets of money. It's you are counting two sets of administrations, but it's just one contract. It doesn't matter which administration has to administer it. It's one contract.
Started and stopped?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's possible.
Mr. Lang, you're talking 10 years.
It doesn't matter, sir.
Dr. Minister 5. And this coming is going to be a next fight.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the one contract. There wasn't several contracts signed. There was the one contract. Just like I know people who've taken 10, 15 years to build their homes. One set of money spent over time.
So the money that this government talk about, we have to pay that amount again?
Yeah, well, it's not again. It's what is required to finish it based on what was spent to get it to where it is today. Okay? Do we have another call?
I'll be listening. Have a nice day.
Okay. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you calling. Do you have another call on the line? This text says, keep up the good work. Some just want to say what they want to say unabated. And if you, as the host, don't challenge them, I would be disappointed. And I truly think the message you put out there is being misinterpreted and understood. Maybe it would be a good thing for all governments to speak only when they have information in hand that they can table in the House. Rather than dropping tidbits here and there, we know the reason for it being done that way at times. Well, you exactly understand that I was trying to put out. Says, I say, if you come off the show, I'll stop listening. Great show. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's my, I ain't gonna lie to you. Some days. You know, it was so curious to me. I watched this play itself, all right. I watch Candia Dames and Juan McCartney tear up the FNM on one occasion prior to Mr. Christie winning. Then I watch them tear up Mr. Christie during the course of his administration, then the Minister administration won. And then start to tear up the Minister administration, and every single supporter of every administration accused them of being against the administration or one political party or the other. It didn't matter. So PLPs were just sending around clips of me speaking about Philip Brave Davis, our now prime minister, about how affable he is and so forth, generous a man he is, which I still believe. And I would stay again today, tomorrow, I would still, unless he changes something. Now, all of a sudden, I'm trying to talk about an approach that's being taken to the way this thing has been handled publicly and in terms of the rhetoric. And all of a sudden now, you don't like how people object and you don't this and you sound like that and so forth and so forth. And I could hear none of that when I was being very passionate about talking about Mr. David. None of that. I was rowdy then. Hey, Brother Juan, was I rowdy then? No, I wasn't rowdy then. All kind of FNMs calling me, slapping me up and punching me up and talking about how I go against the party. You know, I used to be a sitting cabinet minister in the Free National Movement. Something like that about a PLP leader seeking to become prime minister. Y'all ain't fair, man. That's the problem. Y'all ain't fair. You're biased, some of you. You ain't gonna get me to change. Unless he does something to change it, I highly regard and respect our prime minister in his disposition in dealing with many of things, right? But he knows, just like I know him, to be a fair, to be somebody who's going to be forthright when he starts to talk about some matters and so forth. So, you know, I can go. Don't catch feelings, bro. Says, good day, Shivago. I listen to your show daily. I see you as the most balanced talk show host and extremely knowledgeable and willingly educate us, your audience, on various topics. I think that the previous call is missing is that while they present a view, you too have a view and must express it. My suggestion is that we must agree to disagree and respect each other's views. Yeah, I mean, and I know sometimes I can get riled up and really, really intense too. I mean, that's true, but I'm Bahamian. I'm a person. You got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, Minister Lang, exciting show.
Yeah, man, you're not speaking and they don't like it.
You see, your ratings are going to go skyrocketing now. You know, everybody gets famous once this controversy, man. Don't worry about it. What is puzzling me is if we do the valuation and you say I have to build a house for you and it's going to cost $10 million to build a house, and now you come back and you didn't finish the house, shouldn't you have to pay to finish the house if you come back 5 years later and say, look, man, I didn't finish it? Then the contract should be to finish it. Or was the stadium just set up to build half of it and then come back for some money to get the rest done? Is that the way it was set up?
No, but you are right that if I sign a contract to complete a work for a certain sum of money, then I have a responsibility to complete it for that sum of money. But in this instance, is that what has happened, though? My understanding is that a couple of things has happened, because remember, if you sign a contract and there may be delays that were caused inadvertently or by not the responsibility of the contractor, then the contractor has a right to come to you and say X, Y, and Z has happened because of this delay. Also, if you have what we call change orders, in which you alter the contract on the basis of requests and demands that you make on the contractor, that too can result in additional costs that now you have to bear. And so you have to look at the circumstances, delayed the contract, and what may have caused a contractor to now be in a situation where there's additional costs for completing the work that they contracted to do.
Good job, good job. I'm glad you explained it like that, because I never saw all of those parameters that could have come into play. Finally, Minister Knight, as regards the food program, I mean, if someone calls the World Bank that lent us the money and they say that there's no record of it, and other people saying, yeah, we sent record to them, who's going to look good?
Say again?
Let's say the call is finally made to the World Bank that loaned us the money. Who should now be in receipt of all of the receipts, and we are told that they are in receipt of receipts or whatever report. If the World Bank says we are not in possession of these documents to say whatever, then who's going to look good?
Well, I know who's going to look bad. All the people who said they sent the records to the World Bank.
Well, you know what I mean, right? Thanks for
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling. It's Texas. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Hope all is well with you. Please don't let no one steer your today and no other day. I am 59 years old. The things were going years, and some things has not changed. Do not worry about the fish in the market. Sometimes people text cannot say, oh, we don't need a lawsuit. God bless. we have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi. All right. Not sure what's going on there. This text says, I know some may not like this. Tell them stop liking man. This text says, I holler in. Man, don't holler. This text says, say they are lined up to call in, I'm told, to defend their garbage at all costs. Continue to clarify the process. We appreciate your wealth of knowledge and expertise. Listen, man, if you're suggesting that the political party lined up to call on this matter, I regret that that is true. I really do. I regret that that is so, right? I don't know why that would need to be the case. I support the Prime Minister's call for an audit. I support it. I have no problem with it. I think it's a very good move. You, again, I said it gives confidence to the public, whatever the findings, right? Secondly, I'm merely talking about the way the issue was casted in the first instance in the absence of information, which is to suggest that there was some incredulity in the way that was put across. And that in the face of what I understand and know the way the system works, it made that incredulity more so to me. And so that's all I'm saying. I'm saying we could have done it differently. And so if that is going to offend you, your sensibilities politically, oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. No, actually, I'm not sorry. I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't sorry for that. Says, no lying, sometimes you get riled up, and when someone differs from you, it's true. Yeah, I do get riled up, but don't you? Am I the only human being on the planet who gets riled up at time and time? I don't be listening to all these shows. And I don't be listening to y'all on all these shows. I'm the only person to get riled up? I get riled up in all kinds of spaces, man. Y'all ever see? When I was in Washington one time visiting my brother, me and him started talking about some political matter. Man, his wife thought we was getting the blows. And we had to explain this the Bahamian way from time to time. We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. When we come back, we will continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
is that BTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your BTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to BTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with BTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
If you're looking to diversify your portfolio, chart a course for RF Mutual Funds, where you can get global returns through our suite of internationally invested funds. Get exposure in U.S., Asian, European, and emerging markets without central bank approval. And with financial services leader Morgan Stanley as the advisor of our international funds, you can benefit from RF's global connections. Set sail for international markets today by visiting rfgroup.com. RF, money at work.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, two of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody. Take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabar Rolang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. My son, who's 13 years old, I don't know why he started doing this, right? I really don't. But practically every day, this boy will walk up to me and just give me a hug. I can tell you one thing. He knows I need it. I need it, man. This text says to continue to clarify the process. We appreciate your wealth of knowledge and expertise, i.e. they listen and are told to call in to all the talk shows. But I think political parties organize that way, so I can't feel bad about that. Defend yourself, man. Defend yourself, but don't get sensitive and hurt when other people push back. That's just part of the dialogue. That's just part of the effort we are trying to make to get at the truth, I hope, you know, as opposed to just simply put out the spin, which I understand that political parties are want to do from time to time. I'm eager to hear back from the audit that's taking place. I would love to get the information, and I again commend the government that it is seeking to do just that. I want you to think about it this way, though. Before you get mad and upset with me, right? Just think about it this way. $53 million is spent through, say, 15 NGOs in the Bahamas. Public funds. You are the minister of, and you want to know what happened. What meeting you can call them in and say, listen, bro, children, sirs, ma'ams, please, let's talk about this. What happened? Why would, if you are as an NGO, are unwilling to share documentation and information with the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance about public funds, The next call I expect the Prime Minister to make is to the Commissioner of Police. and their fraud unit. That's the next call to say, well, can we get at this, you know? Because if you come in and you say, well, Prime Minister, you know, it'll take us some time to put the records together and so forth, because in the midst of the program, you know, it was really hectic, et cetera. I can see the Prime Minister saying, because in an audit, that's still what has to happen. If the auditors show up at an NGO, they still have to wait for the information to be gathered and given so that they can conduct their audit. And if that information isn't available, that's what would be said in an audit, right? So you can't be running around not wanting to account for public funds. That's just not doable, right? I fully support trying to get an accounting of SAM. And this is a lot of money. It's a lot of money, right? I just think that we can try to handle these matters in ways that don't call into question our public institutions, do not put at undue reputational risk the non-government organizations that are a part of your public service system to support those in your communities who are in need or at a certain disadvantage. And do not fail to ultimately get us answers to the questions that we require to be answered in order to know what has happened with executed public funds. And that need not be a political exercise. Any permanent secretary who is the chief financial officer of a ministry ought to be able to call on any NGO in receipt of monies from that ministry or through that ministry to give an accounting for it. As a matter of public administration, to get sidetracked by your disagreement with me about talking about it, to get sidetracked by how I talk about it sometimes, you know what I mean? Some of you are media, you are something, right? Let's be real in the world. How you grow up and carry on is how you grow up and carry on, right? You change as you think necessary and best to accommodate your interests and those of the people you care about and love. But don't pretend that you live in some world in which you are so perfect, so wonderfully this and that and the next thing. We are all in the public sphere, mostly only shadows of ourselves. We show people those sides of ourselves that we want them to see, lest they know all of us and break off running away from us, right? Those, some of us who are authentic enough to show up and be as ourselves, it can be scary sometimes. Because I think it's too much work to be pretentious. It is a lot of work to be pretentious. You don't have to tell people all our business, but to be pretentious, that's a lot of work, man. The text says, listening to some callers, in my opinion, seems to have a mindset that it's some way might lead to unfortunate situation because they don't want anyone to tell them anything different from their thought process on different matters. And before you know it, screaming, shouting enters. Then someone goes to the extreme and we see some of the things taking place on our streets. Truly, we need to press towards the mark of a higher calling and control our emotions and just agree to disagree. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, there may be crises in the Bahamas again. In fact, we're still living in one. It's been waning, and my suspicion is that not too long from now, the WHO might actually declare this. But we may face a crisis again, in which the state decides that managing relief to its citizenry may be more difficult than its own machinery can accommodate, and decide it may need to use these non-government organizations to help and assist. And, you know, you gotta ask the question, how eager, how comfortable will they be to do it? Because they will recall the circumstances in which it was done before and what happened in those circumstances. And just decide, not because they think they're gonna do anything wrong, but just decide it just ain't worth the reputational risk, because you may get caught up and embroiled in a situation in which you now have your whole charitable effort called into question. And then that handicaps the system's ability to get assistance to the people who genuinely need it, even if some of it is abused by people who don't need it. And our long range effort to not throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that's something that can be done. Without question, it can be done. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I trust that you have a great evening. Guess what? Talking Heads is up next with Naughty. God bless you. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, Friday. Have a good evening.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.